In the dark, I fed my dream.
Welcome to episode 344 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Oh yeah, glad to be here with y'all. Yeah, episode 344, man. I can't even believe it's been so long, but as always, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Soil saviors. Yeah, folks, that's exactly how we're cleaning up Western North Carolina. Yeah, Ben and Denise, I need to get you your box over there, and I'm going to be doing a giveaway, not this week's, but next Monday. We're going to be giving away a $400 box. Maybe more, maybe a $500 box. I can't remember, but we're going to be giving that away. And yeah, we're probably going to have some criteria for it. Maybe we'll make it a little contest, or still trying to work it out exactly how that's going to work out. Well, I want to thank everybody that's here on the live today. Want to give a hat tip, as always, to Renewed Homestead for handling the chat. You know the deal. Don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. So, and by the way, if you're wanting some of these ballin' shirts that we got on right now, or some of the others that Eric has come up with, yeah, we're going to, you know, if everybody else can say this word, we're going to say it too. And it's really, I mean, in light of everything that's going on right now, I'm just keeping it real. I'm telling the truth. So if you want one, we got a link down below for everybody. So, yeah. Anyway, man, where do I even begin from there?
Hold on. Just, I feel like it's a good idea to give everybody a heads up that we will lose some of you in the process of wearing the shirt. So just be prepared for that.
Yeah. It's not wasted on me. I don't know what happens on your end, but every single time we do a podcast, every single time, at least 10 to 50 people unsubscribe. So that means I'm doing something good. Like Joel always says, you know, when you're selling something at a farmer's market or wherever you might be, one third of those people ought to walk away because they're just not, you know, Joel had given that example of a lady. He was over there selling chickens and she's like, oh man, that's seriously expensive. But meanwhile, she's holding a can of Coke and a cigarette.
Yeah.
Maybe your priorities are a little bit out of whack, but at the end of the day, look, the gloves are coming off. I think it's time, at least on our end, that we ramp it up a little bit because, and a lot of times the best way to communicate some difficult points is through humor or dark humor or humor that I don't know, a fair number of people are not going to find funny anyway. Frankly, I'm beyond caring because I think this shirt pretty much says it all. You know, there was a time, and son, it was funny because now folks don't hold it against me. Now some folks are going to unsubscribe the second they hear me say what I'm about to say. Your mom and I, we got this routine every single day. And by the way, y'all, this Thursday, I'm going to have Logan Duvall back on, and he's going to talk about, because I mean, when it comes to circadian biology, everybody out there needs to hear this program. We're going to talk about step-by-step what you should be doing to optimize your circadian biology. Oh man, did we get some money over here, son? You're going to have to read this because I can't read anything with these BCGs on.
Shout out to Brenda Bodwin. Can't make me unsub even with all that white man's word shirt.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're just going to keep it real. In fact, I hope everybody buys one of these shirts off of Eric because truth of it is, it's the state of affairs. And anyway, we go through, we're doing our thing. Okay. So we get up in the morning, get up real early before the sun comes up. We get out there, do the chores, and then as the sun is coming up, William was out there with us when he was here this last time doing part of it. We got a little bit of a late start, but we were still cool. While the sun's still low in the sky, we're sitting here watching the sun come up. And then usually right after that, Michelle usually gets up before I do, and she'll go inside. She'll go water the high tunnel if it needs it. And then I'll jump in the truck, start it up, and then, you know, I'll put on NPR for that very small bit of time that I'm able to listen to it before your mom jumps back in that truck. Because Lord knows, if she jumps in there and I got NPR on, she is going to lose her ever loving mind. So why do I do it? I do it because I want to hear what my enemy has to say. That's why I pay attention to what Fox News is saying. I pay attention to what MSNBC is saying. I say, so as you can see, y'all, I'm a political atheist, okay? I realize they are all equally worthless, but I want to know what the lie is. I want to know what the prevailing lie is. But every once in a while, you'll catch NPR, especially on the weekend, doing something worthwhile. They were talking to this black lady who I'll have to get out to her. I'll have to reach out to her. And she's down in Louisiana in New Orleans. And there was a show, a documentary that came on years ago, and it was called The World Against Monsanto. Some of you may have seen it. Anyway, they were describing what they were doing particularly. It wasn't just that documentary, but a number of others. What they were doing particularly, choosing black neighborhoods all over Louisiana to do a lot of their testing, because ain't nobody caring about those coons, right? That's exactly what they were thinking. And then they woke up to it. Well, this lady was an activist talking on NPR about the ongoing offense and effects, and how I can't even tell you how many people she knew and how many people in her family were dropping like flies based on a lot of the stuff that Monsanto has done and is still doing down there. And, you know, working with Pat Miletich and Dr. Will, we're going to, William, Pat, Will, and I are all going to be at some point working up in Chicago trying to, we're going to clean up an area in Chicago. I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but it's in the works. And I'm wondering if we can't put this place in Louisiana on the roster too, because what we did in Western North Carolina on this test spot over here, 6 months, I mean, and we turned it around. That's unheard of, undreamed of, using not only our biocomplete compost, but Dr. Will's product in addition to it. So that's why, folks, it took me a good 6 months and all the rigorous testing that we did before I ever told anybody about it. And when I found out how well it worked and realized, okay, man, this price point, it seems a little bit high, but you know, there's no way they can make it less expensive because they got to source this stuff all over the world. Anyway. So
hold on that note real quick. Yeah, it might be like expensive. You might have sticker shock, you know, the first purchase, but it's a one-time purchase. Like accumulate, think of how many bags of fertilizer you bought from the store before, accumulate all that, but it's cheaper in your mind because it's spread out through years and whatnot. But if you take this one-time purchase of fertility, it's a permanent fix as long as you don't create compaction or anaerobic conditions.
That's the caveat, son. I'm glad you pointed that out because people will say, well, this didn't work. Well, you didn't look, you, this isn't a sword of Damocles. You've got to do something on your end when it comes to this stuff. So you could sit here, let's say you have the worst pastures in the world. Okay. Let's say you took over Greg Judy's farm, but if you didn't manage it the way Greg Judy does, or you took over this farm, we had nothing but goldenrod out here, multiflora rose, blackberry, thorns, you name it. It's about 95% gone in most places. Mm-hmm. It's gone because of good management and good technique. So like William said, if you were to take all these garden beds of yours, and yeah, like you said, I mean, well, that's a 5-acre box too. If you're using it in your gardens, man, you can use this for years. I mean, but like you said, if you don't do anything stupid, like putting chemical fertilizers or anything else out there, and folks, that yes, that is stupid in my judgment. It really is at this point, because we know better. We can do better. If you use compost, like William said, that's a one-time purchase to get yourself squared away. So the point being, I didn't mean to go so far afield, but that's why this shirt applies. Because honestly, I don't care where you are. If you're in the hood or you're in the country, it doesn't matter. You're getting sprayed too. They're getting all of us. Don't care where you live, in the hood or in the country. If you're buying food off the shelves in there, do you know the provenance of it? Do you know where it came from? Yeah. That's why I'm saying we all niggas now. And guess what? I'm giving everybody license to say it, because honestly, it tells it like it is. It tells it like it is. I mean, that's Now, folks, be careful the company you're saying. I wouldn't be at, you know, a jazz festival and go spend it out, but
or Chicago. We can't wear these in Chicago, Dad. But hey, okay, so add on top of your Soil Savior giveaway next Monday, I've got four more of these shirts. As long as you wear a size large, we'll throw that in there with the with the Soil Saviors thing. Well, I maybe got four more of these.
Maybe we'll just do it over a couple of weeks, son. That way, you know, we can spread out the wealth, so to speak. Yeah, that forgive works. So anyway, folks, that's William came on with the shirt. I didn't even know he had it, so I was like, okay, that's why we got started late. So I had to go down and go get mine. And yeah, so we'll be Twinkies for this one. All right, so we'll get right into the farm news. And good night, y'all. I am nursing. Okay, here I am, almost 55 years old, and I'm weed eating out here this area where the sheep had hit, and it was an area that they couldn't hit also, but it's near the driveway, and I slipped on some gravel, landed on the weed eater on my ribs, and as it happened, I just knew I broke something. I'm like, oh my goodness, and they hit me like in these floating ribs over here too, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And then I got up, wind was knocked out of me, and I just know I'm messed up. Well, it turns out I bruised some ribs, so I'm not exactly, I'm not that injured, but I definitely feel it. Every time I wake up in the morning, every time I move, every time I cough, every time I do anything. If you ever had a rib injury, but I'll tell you what I'm doing to fix it. Obviously, Comfrey Salve. I mean, we got plenty of that on the shelf. And then I'm using DMSO to drive it in even further. That's one of the awesome attributes of DMSO. So put on the Comfrey.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
You might not want to say that. Well, on YouTube.
Well, I said it a couple of weeks ago, too, son. It was cool.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I said it a while ago. But, I mean, at this point, man, they can get us for anything. I mean, I'm not even... not even worried about it at this point. I mean, folks, if you can't find us here, try us on Rumble. Now, in Rumble, they pull some other stuff where you got to watch 50 million commercials. But, hey, we're there also. So it is what it is. But anyway, I put some of that stuff on there, and it feels like I'm recovering much faster. And I'm also, of course, doing the circadian protocol, and that seems to be helping too. But honestly, folks, it hurt just to even sit in the truck. Every time I make a left-hand turn, I'm like, oh man, it hurts. But hey, I'm turning around. I'm getting it squared.
When did you do this? When did you do it? I just talked to you guys. I just FaceTimed you guys with a baby yesterday.
Yeah, I know. It was the day before yesterday that happened. So dang. Yeah, and it's like any injury, it's not the first day, it's the subsequent days that seem to, I just didn't even bring it up. It's no good in the morning, but hey, man, it's coming around. But hey, moral to the story is wear good shoes and be careful, because I'm always cautious. I try to be especially cautious when I'm doing anything on the farm, because the burden that it puts on other people when you get injured, when you do this kind of thing, is enormous. And this is the work I love. So, folks, I just wore lousy shoes, and I should have done better. So, let that be it's a miracle, honestly. I was thanking the good Lord, man. I didn't break anything, because I really thought I did. All right, so other things going on around here. No forecast of rain today, and it rained cats and dogs with no forecast whatsoever. So, hey, it is what it is. And, of course, they're back to their night spraying. Did a little short on that on YouTube the other day, and they're doing what they do. I mean, sadly, it seems like nobody cares. I mean, outside of this audience, maybe you can't even have this conversation, even with what should be high-functioning, intelligent people for the most part. For some reason, they just can't look up, and they can't realize that everything. I talked to Dane Wigington the other day. I called him up. And we had a conversation about a number of things, and wanted to tell him some things, test results, things, because he wanted to know how the testing was going here in Western North Carolina. So I was giving Dane the sit rep on that. And as I'm talking to him, he's just, you could tell there was for those that don't know, Dane Wigington, probably the world's foremost geoengineering expert. Okay. And I was giving him the lowdown on these testing results and everything. And we had been trying to get with one another. I mean, he's on the West Coast and I'm on the East Coast, and we were just playing phone tag for the longest time. So anyway, we did connect, and Dane's telling me, you know, in recorded history, for the most part, to have this many unbelievable events all happening at the same time is just undreamed of. I mean, as he was talking to me, he said 100, dig this, and it came out in his latest report. So what would you say if I told you, does it sound natural or unnatural that at night in the Middle East, the ambient temperature is 135 degrees at 1 in the morning?
It definitely shouldn't be that, because especially in a desert where there's very little humidity in the air, it's usually hot when the sun comes up, and as soon as the sun goes down, it's starting to cool off again, because there's no like moisture in the air to hold on to that temperature, so it changes temperature pretty quickly. 135 is insane.
At 1 like, in the morning.
They don't have anaerobic bacteria, that's for doggone sure. They die at 131.
Well, they're playing games with these, and of course, it's all this stuff seems to be, they've been messing with Iran for the longest. I mean, folks, we're dealing with some wicked, wicked people. So, you know, stay alert, stay alive. That's why we always say that, because we saw this coming for the longest time, and here it is upon us, and they're ramping it up. I mean, it seems like the more people complain about it, the more they ramp it up. So, hey, hit us with your, well, I ain't going to say that. Anyway, other things going on. Got another tree full of peaches, and it is, remember, folks, when we put in any cultivar, whether it's peaches or anything else, we get early, mid, and late. We already picked the early and mid, and now we're coming into the late. And they are, I'm going to have to literally prop up the branch before it breaks off. That's how many peaches are on this tree. It is blowing up. And the cool thing about those, man, that, I mean, good night, man. Who doesn't love peaches? If you don't love peaches, you're probably a communist. Got potatoes coming out of our ears right now. We got to go get those. We'll make a video out of it, because we did those potatoes. It was something of a test bed, to be honest with you. We did counting the high tunnel, maybe 6-7 beds, I'm not sure, full of potatoes. And they were growing in soil that couldn't grow anything. So I used that soil savior along with our compost extract to see, and we're going to all find out together. I don't know what it did exactly, but we're all going to find out. At least two of those beds are ready to rock and roll, it looks. And we're going to see just how things turned out. But this was soil, when we tested, could not grow anything. And it looks like we got a harvest. How much? I don't yet know. But it looks like it's going to be off to the races. So, folks, one last thing before I pass it over to William. Look, we're in a – they like Dane told me, they had to invent new terms called heat dome. I never heard of no heat dome growing up. And Dane, he's just a few years older than me. He never heard of it either. And of course, being somebody who follows this stuff inside and out, they've had to create, and heat dome was just one of them, of all, these are the phenomenons that are created from the weather that they are doing. They drop these chemtrails, and then when you see those ripples in the sky, they're using the NEXRAD radar towers to spread this stuff out. That's exactly how it's going. And they can do it for a lot of other nefarious things as well. So folks, stay hydrated, do everything you need to do, watch your pets, watch your animals, make sure they got some shade in some of this stuff, because it's probably going to get quite nasty for a while. Well, son, you just got back from a 2-week tour. What's on your plate?
So, just got back from a round of consultations, did the Kentucky Sustainable Living Festival. Shout out to Brenda. She purchased someone's ticket. I wasn't in charge of who got the ticket. I think Shelly was, or Shelly or Mel were in charge of that, whoever was running the front desk at the time. I did that, and then did a gang of consultations, got the Midwest Preparedness Festival's raffle winner. The grand prize, or the second to grand prize, was the consultation. Just got his consultation squared away. And if you go to Midwest Preparedness and Kentucky Sustainable Living in the future, you'll have the opportunity to bid on it or throw a ticket in the raffle to win consultations yourself. So there's some incentive to go to the festivals. And keep in mind, all the money for both of them, or I believe the auction was going to Caleb House, and then the Midwest Preparedness Conference one, I think it was going into the next Midwest, which is the next one is in third week of September. But as you can see, the wall in the office looks a little bit different. It used to be a weird colored yellow, maybe mustard yellow. I don't even know. But Painted it gray, and then here pretty soon I'm going to start the permaculture design course over on Patreon. So that's what I'm up to right now. I was thinking about using. Some people were like, "Oh, I'm never going to support on Patreon or anything like that." Y'all, it seems to be like the only user-friendly option. Like there are some more like techier options and stuff, but the best one that's suited for what I'm going to be doing on Patreon. Or what I'm going to be doing is going to be on Patreon. So other than that, just catching up on emails and catching up on videos. And, yeah, I have a whole lot of computer work ahead of me. That's for doggone sure.
Well, son, in accordance to some of this circadian good stuff, hey, whenever you can, do all of your computer work outside if you can.
And well, lately, the stuff is going to overheat. Like, I can't record longer than 30 seconds at a time right now. Just because the camera overheats and stuff.
Yeah, I'm doing nearly every single, all the clerical stuff that I have to do because we got a lot of irons in the fire right now. We got some big things that we're going to announce hopefully here in a couple of months in terms of another festival that's going to happen, not this October, but next October. And, you know, what we're going to be doing with that. And, you know, it's requiring a lot out of me. Like they say, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. Like Steve over here, he says, "Dude, I'm the peach king. Can't keep up." Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I love some peaches. But with respect to a lot of this stuff that we're doing right now, I can do it on the porch. Unless it is like blowing sideways, I am doing as many things outside as I can with my eyes. Don't worry, we're going to be talking about this Thursday with Logan, and he's like, you know, he's like one of Dr. Jack Cruz. He's been at this a long, long time. And folks, if you ever listen to his podcast, good night, man. You'll see him, and he's very polite about it, but I don't know how else to say it. But he's literally an autodidact mopping the floor with PhDs and MDs out there because he's self-taught and he's learned all this stuff. I mean, the dude is wicked smart. And I'm saying he's not being a jerk about it. He's just, I know that he knows lots more than the people he's interviewing, and they have no idea what he's even talking about when it comes to circadian health. So folks, as much as for all of you folks dealing with ailments that you can't seem to get rid of and the doctors don't seem to have answers for, I would highly suggest it. We've been doing it religiously now for months, and I do feel the needle moving in a massive way. And just so many people out there seem addicted to the methodology they're using when this is really, it doesn't cost you a dime in most cases. So I highly encourage everybody to check out what we're going to be doing on Thursday. So one last thing I want to add. I mean, there's so much going on in the world right now, and I'm trying to steer a little bit more away from a lot of the political nonsense going on. But folks, I got to address this. So, you know, the mainstream and the not so obvious establishment, the establishment and the not so obvious establishment, you know, people like Alex Jones and a number of others out there who pretend to be, you know, non-establishment, but they really are. I can't believe this has gone over the heads of everybody out there. So the last thing you heard on Friday on dumping day, Ghislaine Maxwell is in prison singing like a canary. Okay. Let me ask you, how true is that? And the reason why I'm asking this, and all I'm going to make is this one point, and I guarantee for those of you who haven't thought of it yet, you're going to have a massive light bulb go off in your head. Ghislaine Maxwell, she's singing like a canary on powerful politicians, powerful billionaires, and powerful royalty, supposedly. But they got her in general population. Folks, if there was any truth at all to this, she would be in witness protection long before anybody knew ever even got, before the story ever even came out. You are being played again. And if you think you're about to get anything, look, they're going to tell you Joe, the pizza delivery salesman, was in on the pedophilia. Come on. I don't know what you expect to get out of this or what anybody expects to get out of this, but honestly, she's rolling over on the most powerful people on planet Earth. They're telling you this, okay? The most powerful people, but they got her in general population. Son, does that sound believable to you?
I mean, none of it does at this point. Like, they're just, if you haven't figured out that neither side cares at all about you, then I mean, you're kind of stuck, I think. I don't know that there's much like waking you up at this point. Yeah, none of them care. Like, they're not going to produce any kind of evidence. Trump is giving like contradictory statements every time he's on the interview. Some people are saying it's like 5D chess, and I would say those people are sadly like, what's that? Hopium. That's what it is. Hopium.
Like,
especially the ones that were telling other people to vote, and this is like our last. Like, okay, Andy Frisella, for example. It seems like he's holding on as much as he can to Trump being possibly a good guy. He claims that he's waiting to see what happens and everything. And I think based on the past and based on past patterns and whatnot, we can go ahead and make the guesstimate that nothing's going to be revealed at all. The only people that are doing anything positive are local organizations or small group organizations. Like, okay, so Bear just talked at Kentucky Sustainable Living. He said of all the child trafficking organizations he's come in encounter with, one of them was honest. One of them was making a difference. Out of all of them, one of them. And chances are you probably haven't heard of this organization, this small organization.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, the Hopium is like, I'm like, dude, this is like a new version of Hope and Change, and everybody's falling for it. But I wanted to hit this Ghislaine Maxwell thing real quick. That's all I wanted to touch on. I'm not going to hit on a whole lot because I can't even believe how many people are just hook, line, and sinker. You got a person that's supposedly rolling over on the most powerful people on planet Earth, and she ain't in witness protection? Come on. This is just another flipping hoax. By the way, Brenda, thank you for the $5. If you break bread, I won't fake dead. So thank you very much for the money. Another thing. How has everybody forgotten about Fauci? This dude has murdered more people than smallpox. And I mean, and they're still cashing in. The latest number, Dr. Betsy Eads said 5,000 per week. And a number of others are saying the very same number. About 5,000 a week are succumbing to what Fauci did. And that's in America alone. And they say the numbers are probably going to go up. But no, 5,000 a day. I'm messed up. 5,000 a day just from that alone that they can prove. Where's his day in court? Oh, he was given a pardon. But if they brought him, just like Rand Paul said today, if they put him in front of Congress right now, we can get to we can get down to brass tacks on this. But everybody's already forgotten about that. Everybody's forgotten about the fact that, we're going to be out of war in 24 hours over there. And now here we are sending missiles and everything else over there to, where is it now? Israel and Ukraine. I mean, we've been lied to so many times. But this thing with Ghislaine Maxwell, I'm like, I can't even believe how many people I see parroting this. We're going to get to the bottom of it now. And I'm like, are you kidding me? She would be in witness. I mean, there is no way on earth if she was dropping anything of any consequence, she would have been dead before the close of business that day. No doubt about it. And believe me, they can easily get somebody on the inside to do it. So anyway, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. It was so absurd, and everybody's been parroting it for the last several days that I'm like, okay, I got to at least say something on that. So I'll leave that one right there and we'll just drive on. Anyway, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. I got my bare feet. You know me, I'm G'd up from the feet up and I mean grounded right here on this grounding mat from Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Wave Watch, 10% with, I'm sorry, $100 off with promo code Billy100. 100. I better say that right. Yeah. For all of you people out there that can't read this shirt and say that. For all you white folks out there that don't know what 100 is. You get $100 off with that thing. And I was using it yesterday. Used it all day yesterday. Had to do like a 5-hour round trip to a place and to go scout something out. And I had that thing working the whole time. Son, you said at the Kentucky Sustainable Living, you ran across a lady that had some pretty incredible results.
Yeah. Actually, she's in the chat. You know who you are. I don't want to say your name over the internet if you don't want to reveal yourself. Okay, she's there. It did some pretty amazing things, and the doctors didn't want to believe it. They were like, oh, my bad. We had the wrong tech, or we had a new tech and like some faulty equipment. They just didn't want to do anything, whatever possible, to not admit that it was potentially something outside of what they controlled. It was pretty messed up. But Emily, my wife, uses it all the time. Like when June was a baby. Yeah, hold on, Dad. Here's something we got to talk about. Dad talks about the Wave Watch in the form of like controlling your anxiety. That is 1/1000th of what this watch does. Like of the spectrum, it's like this tiny little corner over, way over there. This thing has, I was just scrolling through that Wave Watch 2 that you guys gave Emily. That thing has every issue. You can turn it on the specific frequency and it'll take care of it. And in fact, I did a consultation for this lady up in Tennessee, who is working on a larger scale version of it with a wider spectrum of things. So like when we did the consultation, I was covered in ticks. I've never had more ticks on my body at once. But as I'm like picking them off, she wanted to collect the ticks so she could collect or identify the frequency that they were at. So that way she could like charge herself up to this frequency. And I could be butchering this, but she wanted to charge herself up to this same frequency that would repel the ticks next time she went out there. Pretty interesting things. And then, just pretty interesting things. Wave Watch does a whole lot more than just anxiety.
Well, if it's just, look, man, if all it does is keep me from going upside somebody's head, act stupid, it did its job. I mean, the anxiety and stuff when I'm out and about, I mean, and then there's sometimes where there's some other things going on too. And the fact of it is, man, like you said, I just use it for a fraction of what I use it in the solfeggio tones, but I only ever really put it on when I leave the house. And, you know, hearing you talk, I was like, man, why didn't I put this on for my rib issue? I should have been wearing it then. Yeah. So yeah, there's so many different things, but I'm just so addicted to using it when it comes to anxiety or to keep me chill when, you know, I'm out and about and I'm likely to be around some hoople-headed marchie that says the wrong thing. And it keeps me from strangling people and going to jail. So, if for no other reason, it's worth it on that. Anyway, Billy 100 would get you $100 off. So Homesteaders United Jamboree, I think it's still going on. I guess it's August 28th through the 30th. And yeah, they got a website. And I won't be at that one, but I will be at East Tennessee Homestead Alliance Festival. That's going to be September 12th and 13th, Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'll be there. And if it's not a festival that's in very, very close proximity that I can get to and back in the day, folks, I'm probably not going to be there for the most part. So that one's close, and it was really good last year. I really enjoyed it. And a lot of other people did as well. So, and also met. Man, I met some really, really awesome people over there, just like you do with every one of these festivals. So anyway, go check that out. All right, so we'll get into the good news, and then we'll break down the episode. All right, I'm going to say it again. DMSO, this one here, DMSO emerges as potential game changer for chronic respiratory illnesses. Folks, I'm not going to read and tell you what they say in this article because I don't want anybody out there. I'm not giving you medical advice or anything. I'm telling y'all, this dimethyl sulfoxide, we got gallons of it up in this place, and it works like nothing I've ever seen for healing animals. I mean, I quite literally thought I was going to have to put this sheep down. She had a son. You saw it when you were here.
I thought Dad was going to have me run up and grab the gun. I thought it was going to happen either that moment or later that day.
She was cut and totally covered in maggots. I mean, the hoofs, you name it, everything. I was like, come on, man. So I was like, okay, I took a little brush, I know it sounds disgusting, folks, but I got to tell you, I mean, I took this thing, got all the maggots off, sprayed it on there. And of course it doesn't sting, but it does get warm. And so, you know, she wasn't really digging all that. Very next day, this animal is running around, and right now she's in the pasture doing great. So folks, this is since that time, we bought gallons of this stuff. Whether it's in the, I like the gel when I'm using it on me. The spray, I'm not a big fan of that one so much, but I do like the gel. The gel, I mean, you can pick this stuff up at Tractor Supply or your local farm store. And the uses for this stuff, in this article, they go through it in detail, but look, I'm going to leave everybody else out there to figure this out. Mike Adams a little bit of a documentary on it.
So speaking of Mike Adams, like if you guys are curious, like there's somebody asking something about natural method for nerve blockers, like Wave Watch for one. But if you're curious about these natural methods of healing, and it's not obviously not something you can just search online and get an accurate answer, go to Brighteon.ai and use Mike Adams' Enoch AI platform, where it has like every interview he's done. It even has a permaculture design manual, has all the interviewees' information. It has a ton of information on there. Just be specific with your question. The more specific you are with your prompt, the more accurate your answer is going to be, and it'll email you the answer. And sometimes there's a cue, sometimes there's not. But Brighteon.ai, Brighteon.ai.
Hey, hey, Alabama, Sam, what was that, Billy? It's called DMSO, dimethyl sulfide. You can get it from Tractor Supply. I mean, you can use it on yourself. You can use it on animals. If there was anything out there for at least topically how I've used it, I have never seen anything that worked faster and better to an animal I swore I was going to have to put down. I wish I'd found this stuff years ago. So, you know, even on myself, I mean, I'm using it there. But let me just kind of echo what William said there, because it's a profound importance. A lot of these AIs online, when you're looking for stuff, you cannot, for health information or anything else, you can't trust ChatGPT, can't trust that DeepSeek, you can't trust any of them out there. The only one I would put a high degree of trust in, like William said, is Enoch that Mike Adams has, because it was trained to not be woke. It was trained to give you, and first of all, it's trained on the stuff that we talk about anyway. And so I'm not saying put all your trust in this AI. I'm saying of all the ones out there, when you're looking for methodology, especially when it comes to health, that's the only one I would even consider using. Now, if you're a customer there, you can get your answers, I think, immediately. You may have to wait a while if you're not. But hey, man, I mean, we're in a hurry society that's so bad that we can't wait for an email to get the answer on something of great import. We got bigger problems. In fact, we do have those problems. All right, so let's go to the next one here. Walking, just 7,000 steps a day, cuts mortality risks nearly in half, research shows. So I got that, you know, I think everybody has that walking app on the phone, or depending on the phone. Yeah, thanks a lot for putting that in there, Denise. I will stick it up on the screen if I can get this thing to work right. Okay, there it is.
Oh, no, that's not it. That's talking about DMSO. Are you wanting to share the Brighteon link?
No, That's what I wanted. Anyway, walking 7,000 steps a day. Now, I think 5,000 steps, I don't know how many miles that is, but it ain't that bad, folks. So, I mean, look, if it's going to cut your mortality risk in half just by moving around, now, there's a lot of us that do farm work that kind of get that just by doing farm work, you know. As of late, I don't know that I'm getting mine. So I'm going to have to put my little pedometer back on and find out what's up and get back to it, because I've been having to do a lot more clerical stuff these days, and then the crazy weather, all kinds of weird things. But anyway, it was a reminder to me as much as anybody else out there. So, hey. And especially, you know, it was also, there was that study that was done by Dr. Joe Dispenza, and they were telling, check this out. They did this study. Your intention, what you think upstairs really matters. They went to a bunch of Hispanic ladies who were cleaning ladies at a motel, and they went to half of them and said, hey, they were talking about what they did in the course of a day. And they were saying, well, hey man, what you're doing, you're getting so much exercise that most people don't get in blah, 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 blah. They told half the cleaning ladies that. I think it was actually in Vegas somewhere that they did this. And the other half, they didn't say anything to. Just by those ladies being conscious of the work they were doing as being very healthy for them because they were constantly moving, they all, I forgot how much weight they lost collectively, and their health scores were off the flipping charts. So just knowing that, folks, when you're out there doing your work, or let's say you got a construction job, whatever the case may be, just knowing that you're doing that work and knowing it upstairs makes all the difference in the world for the results on the back end. So just keep that in mind. So let's see here. All right. Here's another good news story. 1 minute fat burning workout going viral. Now, this is new to these people, but I've known about this for a long time. And what they're talking about is sprinting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reading this article and I'm like, y'all gave me this crazy headline saying that if I get out here and sprint, 1 minute fat burning workout goes viral. Maybe you should try it. And I sit here and read it and I'm like, okay, so it's sprinting. Oh, great news. At my age, you know, I don't sprint, not unless I got a reason to, but, you know, honestly, just reading some of this stuff, I'm like, okay, people like Dorian Yates, you know, Mr. Olympia, over and over again, had discovered this. I mean, there's a number of others that have discovered this a long time ago, or HIIT workout, high intensity interval training. I mean, you work out really just a small period of time and you're burning fat for hours and hours and hours. So, you know, sprinting, who knew? I'm like, okay, you wrote this. Are you that hard up for an article that you had to give me this? Why don't you just say sprinting is good for you, man? Just keep it real. Just stop right there. Anyway, I'll quit with the annoyance, but anyway, who knew? So if you're a cleaning lady, just maybe in between breaks or whatever, go out there and sprint. That would be something to see. All right. With that, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, the humid tropics. As many of us contemplate migrating away from the mess we've made of the Northern Hemisphere, it's important to understand the realities of living and growing food in the tropics. A lot of people have the misconception that it's the easiest place to grow because you can grow all year long. But if you don't have your design right, you can get swallowed up taking a nap. The humid tropics is a dynamic climate with heavy rains and shallow soils that has many layers of life and very speedy decomposition processes. The rapid life cycles equate to great potential, but also potentially damaging the landscape very quickly. The heat and moisture additionally cause several health concerns with things like sanitation, waste management, and massive weather events. Houses here must be designed differently, accounting for the heat and humidity, and garden designs have to account for long hours of vertical sun. Soils and climate determine much of how we design. In the humid tropics, we should concentrate on building soil and including many sources of easily accessed organic mulch material. Heat and rain cause fast, nutrient leaching, with most of the biomass held up in living systems, which makes the land susceptible to clearing and burning, two things commonly practiced in modern tropical agriculture. However, traditional cultures have flourished using perennial polycultures dominated by palm trees, which continually replenish humus. Gardens and house also must be constructed with consideration for vertical and abundant sunlight, excessive heat, and heavy rains. There are three major subclimates within the humid tropics. The wet tropics occupy about 10% of the Earth's surface and usually have acidic soils due to anaerobic conditions caused by the extensive rainfall. Forests are very dense, no large grazing species are native, and aquatic life is abundant. Houses have steep roofs with walls in full shade. The wet dry tropics is slightly larger, occupying 15% of the Earth's lands, and the winters are clear and dry, the summers hot and wet. It has large grasslands with diverse grazers, and soils here are little more fertile, but lean towards alkaline, especially as it nears desert landscapes. The monsoon tropics fills about 10% of the Earth's surface, supporting a very large population. Summer winds come onshore, bringing serious rains, and winter winds blow offshore, cooling the land. Forests are largely dry, deciduous trees that are spaced wide enough for dense undergrowth. As always in permaculture, it's important to know where you are before you apply what you want to do. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for those in the Sacramento area, check out my permaculture community group, permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog. Yeah. So, hey, just, I know some people have been confused about where to find him. His last name is S-E-I-D-E-R, Eric EricCider.com. So anyway, yeah, go check out my man Eric, especially if you want one of these ballin' shirts or some of the other ones. He's come up with a whole gang of them over there. And Michelle has ordered all of them for me to wear. So I'll be wearing them in the videos. I'll be wearing them in podcasts. There ain't no telling what you're... So he's got all the things I say on the show, in the videos, whatever the case may be. He's put them on shirts. And, you know, maybe I did say this before we put it on the shirt. I don't know if I did or didn't. But anyway, if you want one, it's definitely going to start a conversation.
You said it before you put it on a shirt. You said it before Midwest Preparedness. I know, because our friend Bill Zegley was saying, "What's up, my nitrogen fixer?" all the way across a festival. Oh. I was like, man, not everybody's seen that episode of the podcast.
Yeah, so you got to exercise a little discretion on that one, folks, because that's going to be a hard one to explain in certain circles. Anyway, yeah. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, y'all, the number one threat, well, we were dealing with it today, a lightning storm. Lots of them, and none of them forecasted today. Just kind of threw my whole day on its head. But anyway, look, the number one threat you have is going to be lightning, but the EMP shield is, look, it's guaranteed for that. If this thing gets blown off the wall, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. Find me another transient voltage surge suppressor out there, which is what it is, the best money can buy, actually. Find me another one out there that does a fraction of what this one does, and I'll buy it. But you ain't going to find it because it doesn't exist. Not unless you're working for NASA somewhere, and I'm not even sure they have anything better. Anyway, they got them for your vehicles. They got them for everything. Your solar setup, you name it, they got you. So get yourself squared away. EMPShield.com, $50 off with promo code PERMA.
But real quick, word of advice on the EMP shield. If you're hiring an electrician to put it in, I just did a consultation for this lady over in Tennessee. She bought an EMP shield and she hired some electricians to put it in to install it, and they did not follow the directions. They did not do anything correctly. The best I could tell, they probably just had the wires dangling within the panel or something like that. Mm-hmm. They also recognized that there were some people from out of state. They were from California, not from Tennessee. So they gave them that kind of special, the out of state special. And her house got struck by lightning, and it, like, obviously didn't work because it wasn't hooked up correctly. But had it been hooked up correctly, it would have definitely helped protect. I think she had to replace an AC and then like another well pump or something like that. It was like thousands of dollars worth of damage just because these electricians did not hook up the EMP shield correctly.
They ain't electricians, man. There's so many fly by night. That's yeah. The thing. You know, one of my biggest pet peeves on this planet is lousy craftsmanship. And as a journeyman electrician, as a person that's been doing this for years and years, I ain't even going to lie to you, man. It is that's why when I was in the trade and I was still, you know, working for other people, working for contractors or whatever, a lot of times I would prefer to work by myself because there are so many people these days. When I was brought up in the trade, you know, I was taught by these old guys, man, that taught me to take my time, do it right. You know, it's funny how there's never enough time to get it done right, but there's always time to go back and fix it. And yeah. I particularly hate it when people do this kind of garbage. I don't know how they sleep at night, man, where you could sit here and screw somebody over like that. The directions are simple. I mean, they're simple, especially if you have any electrical know-how at all. For them to just kind of not put this thing in properly says that they're just some really disgusting people. And man, I hate to hear that for them because there's so many people doing that. You hear about it. I don't mean to take this show sideways, but when I hear about that, I think about all these gypsies that go out here and do it to these old folks who find themselves like right after a disaster. I remember where I first heard of it was right after the May 3rd tornado back in Oklahoma. We drove into it. I mean, it was the worst to this day. I think it's still the worst, highest recorded wind speeds ever.
My first memory.
Yeah. Yeah, so we drove into that thing. We ended up getting underground before we came out, and it was like we were on another planet. But anyway, gypsies are coming out of nowhere and they target the old folks. They get in there, yeah, we need a little bit of down payment money to go get the materials, and then they steal their money and drive off. That's exactly how I see a lot of these fly-by-night contractors. Had an apprentice working for me up here when we first moved here. And I told him I'm up in a lift and I'm putting conduit up in the ceiling. And I tell him to bend me a 90. And for folks, what I mean by that is bend me a piece of conduit 90 degrees. He hands this thing up to me. I try to stick it up in the ceiling and it ain't working. And I'm like, man, what is going on? But because I'm 30 feet in the air in a lift, I can't really, but I can look at it. When you do this kind of work, Steve will tell you, when you do anything in construction like this, you get something of a calibrated eyeball. So you know what's square and plumb just by looking at it 9 times out of 10. Your mind, you're just kind of built that way. I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, man, what on earth? So I take the lift down. I get down to the ground and I look at this thing. As soon as I get down to the ground, I put it on the floor and he's down there. He said, what's going on? And this is a fifth year apprentice, y'all. Fifth year. Okay, there's only 5 years in the apprenticeship. He's in the fifth year. I get down and I look at this thing. I said, I thought I told you to bend me a 90. He says, well, it's pretty close. I'm like, pretty close, man. Trust me, I knocked the mothballs off of some words on that one. I'm like, what do you mean pretty close? Pretty close. This thing, it might have been, I mean, I don't even know. It might have been an 85, but it ain't no, when I say 90, not 91, not 89, 90. Okay. And a lot of other craftsmen out there feel and do it exactly the same way. But anyway, these shysters out there, like Steve's talking about in the chat here, when they pull this kind of garbage, y'all, it makes me want to strangle somebody. It really does, because it messes it up for all of us out here who are trying to be really, really good craftsmen and do right and do good stuff. But anyway, man, I've probably spent too much time on that. Anyway, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. So let's get into these permaculture tools that deserve a spot on your farm. Now, I've reached out to William earlier today. I said, why don't you come up with a list of things? I'll come up with a list of things, and we'll just kind of compare notes on the show. And, of course, folks, if you got any, put them in the chat. Maybe we can shout them out here, because everybody seems to think, I mean, the fly-by-nighter out there that are doing this, and we got record numbers right now dropping out of the homesteading movement and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, record numbers, man, dropping out like you would not believe. You know, they seem to think that farming means you go get a tractor. Look, folks, we don't have a tractor out here. You couldn't use one in these mountains anyhow. You don't need one in a lot of cases. But whether they do or not, like Greg Judy wrote, I think, in both of his books, his first two books, that the first thing people want to do is go out and get a tractor. Well, that ain't necessarily your most useful tool, depending on what it is you're doing. You may not even need the tractor at all. Now, it could be a handy tool, or it could be a dangerous servant or a fearful master, depending on how you use it. And honestly, there's a whole lot of people with some really bad compaction issues because they're misusing their tractors and they use it for things they probably shouldn't use it on. So anyway, son, let's talk about some of these tools that we consider. I went through your list and I had my own. I didn't want to tell you what it was, so I didn't want to mess up the flow. But there was the one that both of us had right at the top of the list, and it was a broad fork. Yeah. A broad fork. You want to kick it off first and say why you think broad fork is a must have?
It just, like, you can achieve the same thing without a broad fork, typically, unless you have like a very high compaction area somewhere below your soil due to tilling or something like that. But it's an awesome way to decompact and subsoil your soils without creating any kind of compaction. So whether you're doing like in-ground planting or you're doing like raised bed gardening, whatever it may be, it's a good way to decompact the soil without creating a compaction lower than what you're decompacting. So like, just so you know, if you till 4 inches using a conventional tiller, you're going to be super compacting that fifth inch. That's where your compaction layer is going to be. You're just pushing the compaction layer from the surface down lower in harder to reach areas. There's no lower limit to roots.
And that's why subsoilers over the last 7,500 years have gotten deeper and deeper and deeper, because the compaction layer keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. I mean, there are, and that's where the broad fork is so handy. I mean, first of all, it's human powered. You can get it. Talk about a workout, man. You can definitely get one using that. Or put the kids on it, man. Put them out there. You know, they start acting up or whatever. You need to burn off some energy. We've done, there were some areas out here where William did a lot of it. I did a lot of it too. And we were doing it as part of 75 hard as far as the workout. And you're aerating that life without absolutely destroying the microbial life, because correct me if I'm wrong, son, but a root, a plant's root is not going to go, is not going to penetrate above 150 PSI, or is it 300 PSI?
I thought it was 300 PSI, but like either one, it's going to be stunted there. You want as low compaction as possible, just basically the weight of the soil or whatever kind of compaction it requires to stop you from sinking into the soil is what you ideally would want. I believe it's 300 PSI, but it could be 150 PSI too.
No, I think you're right. And the only thing that will surpass that, the only thing that will get past it is a forb. And how many forbs are you eating? so yeah, that's the only thing that's going to break that and get past that layer. So that's where that broad fork, folks, can be a massive game changer. So you're doing all the wonderful things without messing up a whole lot. There's a documentary your mom and I watched about 2 weeks ago, and I can't even think of the guy's name. And he created this thing. All of his tools were made out of copper. I can't even think of his name right now. Very famous for his time. And of course, he was another guy that, because he was so incredible at what he did, our government managed to find a way to kill him too. He created this. All of his tools were made out of copper because he realized that the difference between a copper and a steel shovel, or a copper and a steel trowel, or any garden instrument, anything made out of copper, was way more productive. He found out that it was way more productive in terms of the food that it produced, and it was always easier to work the soil with a copper shovel or trowel or whatever the case may be, as opposed to when it was made out of steel. So that's another experiment I want to try and give a, I can't even think of the guy's name right now. So, man, doggone it, it's on the tip of my lips right now. But anyway, yeah, broad fork. I haven't seen any copper ones out there, and I probably messed that one up. I mean, William, didn't you manage to bend a tine on a broad fork once?
Yeah, but that wasn't my fault. They were trying to cut weight out of the broad fork, and they cut like these the tines of the broad fork. Usually there's anywhere between like 4 to 8 tines on a broad fork, depending on what style you get and what it's intended for. But it was one of those like 4 or 5 tine ones, and they were cutting holes through the side of the tines to kind of reduce the weight, I think. And it didn't work. I bent the crap out of that one tine. It didn't work.
Yeah. All right. So what's the next one on your list?
A good quality machete, not the Gerber from Ace. Like the machete you should. Okay. Here's a good litmus test on whether or not you bought a good quality machete. Did it come with the safety edge, or did it come sharp? Because if it came with the safety edge, it was intended for somebody who occasionally intends to use it. Most people don't know that machetes that you get from the grocery or from the like Tractor Supply or Ace or anything like that, most of them come with the safety edge, which it'll be like 98% ground, and then it leaves that last 2% for you. I'm of the opinion, like, if I'm buying a knife or a sword or whatever it may be, I'm expecting it to be sharp. Like, I'm getting into it knowing that it's going to be sharp. I'm not going to be surprised by it once I open up the package and realize that it's sharp. But like, a good machete could last you the rest of your life. Like, I got a Condor, and it's one of their like close to their very classic machete shape and stuff like that. But Condor Knife and Tool has some awesome machetes made out of good quality steel. A bunch of expats down in El Salvador, I believe, is who makes the Condor Knife and Tool. And it's a fantastic machete, a good machete. Once you use a good machete, you'll realize you've been wasting a whole bunch of time with the Gerber machetes or even the Tramontina machetes. Those kind of suck in comparison too.
Yeah. Good choice there. Now I'm going to pick things that are tools. It may not seem like tools also. I've picked woven wire fence. Okay. Obviously you're going to use it for fencing, but it has so many other awesome uses. How many videos did you see us use woven wire to make that compost? Okay.
Yeah.
Also tree protection. We use woven wire in the video, I think, that just came out yesterday. I think I talked a little bit about it in that video, where we take these woven wire cages for the sheep to not disturb the little saplings that are coming up or whatever. Anything I want to protect, I put that woven wire around. Plus, it's way less expensive. I mean, the woven wire that I have surrounding this whole property is not so much to keep things out. It's to keep my dog in. It is to make him more effective. But anyway, that woven wire, folks, in so many different applications, I can't even tell you how handy it comes in. So that's a big one right there for me. What's the next one, son?
I have a Jang cedar and or a broadcast cedar. So Jang cedar is one of those. So as you get into like bigger planting and cultivation and stuff like that, a Jang cedar is one of those. It's like a push trolley. Like you load up the seeds in the machine and then you can push it and it'll seed whatever depth, whatever spacing you need. It's all settings that you can set up. But as you get into larger and larger production, a Jang cedar could make sense. Now, the reason I say and or broadcast cedar, I would suggest if I had to pick one, broadcast cedar over the Jang cedar, because you can always just seed, you know, garden seeds by hand. But a broadcast cedar is going to come in handy when it comes to your soil remediation and stuff. So most people are dealing with, you know, highly bacteria dominant soils. One way to quickly change that over without making compost is getting a cover crop down. Or if you're just trying to seed grass seed or clover seed in general, wildflower seeds, anything, it just makes it a lot easier and a lot more even dispersion with a broadcast seeder.
Yeah, or if you want to go behind your pigs, if you're trying to turn some pasture around, you know, that'd be a good way too. I mean, with a broadcast seeder. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that is a pretty handy tool out there. Or you can just do it by hand. But you're going to get way more even coverage if you got a cedar out there, man. Folks, I just don't care. I want to get it down and get it done. And I use, you know, I just basically do it by hand when it comes to a lot of the bare patches I have out here. But yeah, that definitely has its role. Here's another one I thought about was poultry netting. I thought about all the different ways before poultry netting, electrified poultry netting. Folks, it has so many doggone uses. Think about this. I can use poultry netting, and we've done it. We've used it on pigs. You can use it on sheep, but you can't use a sheep net on poultry. So the good thing is if you have limited funds and limited resources, you don't have to. I wouldn't advise you. Let's say you want to do all of the above, maybe not at the same time. The net that's going to cover it all, but it's going to be considerably heavier, is going to be poultry netting. You can raise pigs, sheep, probably even cows, yeah, definitely within poultry netting, but you can't raise poultry in those other nets. They're going to get out, and the other things are going to get in. But the poultry netting, if you got to cover everything with it, folks, it works. I mean, it's good to keep your dog in. If you need a place to set up your dog for a while, poultry netting, I mean, you can use all that, but you name it. Poultry netting will handle all the animals, but the other netting will not handle all the poultry, so that's why I say I like things that I get more bang for the buck because, you know, before we had the funds to go out here and buy hog netting, man, because, I mean, it's a whole lot easier to deal with. It truly, truly is. Hog netting is a whole lot easier to deal with. But, hey, you know, beggars can't be choosers, man. If all you have is poultry netting, that's what you use. So that's another big one there.
But like you were saying, on your same point, like hog netting is only going to work on pigs,
right?
Sheep netting is only going to work on sheep and pigs and cows. You're right. The poultry netting is a much better bang for your buck because you can use it with every other animal. And with chicks, you just double up the chicken netting. You just make a smaller paddock.
Well, we got some, I'm glad you brought that up because we got some chicks out there right now and we got it tripled up. I mean, they just basically got the footprint around there. And as they grow up, I'll spread it out. But yeah, you can use it for all of the above, but you know, it doesn't apply for the other netting. So plus you can even use it to a certain extent around your garden. You want to keep the dogs out of there. It ain't going to keep the deer out, but that's what you got bone sauce for. But you know, it's not really set up for a garden setting, but you know, to a certain extent, if there are certain nuisances you want to keep out of there, it can even do that too.
Yeah.
All right.
The next one I have is obviously y'all had to know that I was going to pick a good quality. I'll say the same thing, Leatherman and knife. I would carry both, not just rely on your Leatherman knife. But here's one. This was from, I got this at KSL. This was from a local knife manufacturer. Exodus Knife and Tool. Shout out Jacob Peterson. He has an awesome YouTube channel. He also makes very good, high-quality knives that aren't like when it comes to knives, you can kind of spend whatever it is you want on knives. There's some that are made from like gold and meteorite dust and stuff like that. But just get a good quality knife. And if you get the right one, if you get the right brand, right manufacturer, it can be an heirloom piece that you hand on down to your kids and whatnot. But the knife is a tool that's used everywhere in the world. No matter where you are in the world, somebody has access to a knife. It's the most versatile tool that everybody uses. And then add a Leatherman on top of that, a multi-tool. Between the knife and the multi-tool, those are two things that I use every single day, that I carry with me every single day. For sure, get a Leatherman. Do not get a Gerber doing what we do. As soon as it gets dirty, it's going to get all clogged up. So stick to a Leatherman.
I hate Gerber. I mean, I hate it with a passion because your hand gets clipped every time you try to use the pliers. I was like, who designed this? I remember Leatherman came out when I was in the Army, and I needed them at the time because back then at Fort Bragg, you can get the Leatherman that had the blasting cap crimpers in them, which, you know, we did that sort of thing. So it was kind of handy that they had that already on there. But then Gerber came out, and it would just seem slick because it seemed like a switchblade and guys were buying it. First time I tried that thing, I'm like, dude, your hands get pinched every single time you use this. I don't know how they stayed in business. Honestly, I only think they stay in business because it just seems cool to see it slide out, because it's definitely not a superior product. But yeah, I totally agree. I carry Leatherman and knives every single day at all times. All right. So here's another one. This one isn't, I say it's a must have. For me, is some sort of vermicomposting bin. That, I mean, for me. Now, you can make them homemade, or you can buy the high-end ones, which I think are worth every single penny from Hiwassee Products. I mean, folks, everything they sell, they don't pay me to say this, everything they sell is top of the line. I don't think there's one thing they sell where they have a competitor that makes something better. But vermicomposting, the more I'm into it, and knowing full well what these worms do, because everything a worm ingests and everything that a worm touches and everything that comes out of a worm is greatly improved. So when I add that, when we're doing our soil, when we're cleaning up the soil, I'm using a combination of Dr. Will's Soil Savior product combined with vermicompost, combined with thermophilic compost. And there's a couple of other tweaks that I've been adding to that I'm learning all the time, folks. But when I mix them all together, I got a product that is second to none. People are asking me, you know, Dr. Will was asking me if he could buy an entire tractor trailer load when he tested our compost here. The vitality was so far off the charts. He was like, dude, I need a whole tractor trailer. I'm like, nah, can't do it, bro. So, I mean, he's wanting to mix because he came here and saw in the high tunnel, and I think you saw it too, son, the areas that we did with Soil Savior, the area that we did with just compost extract, and the area where we mixed them both. Well, a big part of that backbone is having that vermicompost in there too. It's not absolutely necessary, but it's adding another component that you otherwise wouldn't have. So unless you have compost that's just been curing for a while on the real soil, you know, you can't just put this stuff anywhere. But anyway, to me, that's become something that's a little bit invaluable. You don't need a whole lot of space to have a vermicomposting bin, but folks, if you are going to get into composting, and I suggest everybody does these days, because we are going to have to find fertility. I mean, first of all, if you're getting it from the store, you're fighting a losing battle. I promise you, you're going to be on that hamster wheel and you're likely never going to get off. But if you can get on the compost hamster wheel, that's one that you can always stay ahead of. And provided you don't, like William said from the very outset, if you don't do anything foolish, it'll stay that way. Okay. Plus, you know, I'm not going to kid you here with the stuff they're dropping from the sky. I put it on as a prophylactic. I'll be honest with you. I'm putting it on prophylactically to try and protect, because we still crossed the finish line despite the fact that they were chemtrailing us to death out here in Western North Carolina. What do you got, son?
The next one I have is a firearm. So just given like where most people are going to be able to buy property right now, like the demonstration site, it's right next door or just down the road from some people that raise pit bulls for the specific reason of fighting. You also got your local crackhead and whatnot. So if you're growing food, you might. And then also there's the animal aspect as well. And then also the supernatural aspect. Some of y'all know the crazy things going on at the demonstration site. Sometimes there's times where I've edited out of videos or I've stopped recording and stuff because there's something moving out in the back. And yeah, there's not really a whole lot of explanation for it, but just all that to say, like, you got to have a way to defend yourself and what you're growing and your family and your property and stuff like that. I know most people are like squeamish potentially, or they're like immediately nervous about carrying a firearm because they have all these horror stories behind carrying a firearm. As long as it's not that one SIG, what, P320 or whatever, that's just spontaneously going off, and one that just killed like an airman not too long ago. As long as you don't have that, typically, unless you pull the trigger, it ain't gonna go off and stuff. So there's not really a whole lot of things to be scared of as far as the firearms goes. There are a lot of things to respect when it comes to firearms and whatnot. There's some very hard and fast rules when it comes to firearms, but I think it's something that everybody should start getting comfortable with, especially getting comfortable with carrying, not just comfortable shooting, but comfortable carrying.
Well, especially these days. I mean, there was this thing I retweeted on Twitter today where there was this, and folks, be careful of the environment you're in. First of all, always be armed, no matter what. And if you're in a place where you think something may jump off, don't go there. Like there was this thing on Twitter today, man. It just made me sick. All these hood rats, basically they were at a jazz concert. I don't know where it was. And these hood rats jumped this guy, knocked him out. I mean, and then they're jeering around him like a bunch of freaking savages. It made me sick to even watch. And I'm like, okay, first of all, if you got to find yourself in any position where you're going to be around trashy human beings or people that aren't even human beings, because honestly, I don't consider what I saw human behavior. That was below animal behavior. Okay. Think about it. You're out with your, okay, ladies, that is a reason why they call it the peacemaker, the equalizer, whatever the case may be. You have better be, especially these days. And honestly, don't be fooling around on your phone when you're walking out of Walmart. Yeah. I mean, I can't even tell you how many rapes and women were. Well, there was one where we used to live in Bonner Springs, Kansas, where the girl, had she had any awareness of what was around her, she would be living today. I mean,
the girl at the Target in Texarkana, the first time we lived in Texas, yeah. That she was in her trunk for days and nobody knew. Part of it because nobody else had any kind of sense of awareness, but also she didn't have any sense of awareness.
Right. And that's where it was a female cop that said, you know, 95% of all these rapes that happen on the street are 100% preventable, 100% preventable. But it, you know what? If you can sit here and plug somebody with some holes before they got a chance to get a drop on you, or you're not playing on your phone walking to the car when it's dusk or it's dark, that's exactly what these marks are looking for. They're looking for a woman, especially if you got kids. I mean, that's all the more reason why you have got to have your stuff together. See if anybody's opening the door next to you. You know what? And then if you got to come out blasting, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. You know how it goes. All right. So the last one here is, this is going to sound weird, but strangely enough, pallets. Pallets are pretty darn handy, folks. Whether it's building materials that you're going to make out of it, or whether, you know, when I compost things, I put a wire mesh over the pallet and then we compost on top of the pallet. Now, when it comes off that pallet, it's definitely on the ground. That is critical, I think, for a whole variety of reasons that maybe I'll explain that another time. Or whether you're using pallets like I do right now, if you look at my compost barn out there, I got pallets separating each compost I have out there. Okay. So depending on its age, it goes into another bin. I mean, there's so many different things you can do with a pallet. even the chicken tractor on steroids. I mean, you can use pallets to set that up in a static session. So there's so many different things you can do with pallets. Man, I've seen some people make some pretty cool walls with pallet wood, you know, made out of paneling on the wall, man. I thought it was the coolest thing. So there's so many different things you can do with that. Plus, a lot of times you can get them for free. So there were so many things. In fact, when I was still working on my tools, I can't even begin to tell y'all how much lumber I was getting from. And these were 4x6s heat treated, because all these switch gears and stuff that we would have come in, they would take all these wooden pallets and they would just put them out back. And then they would have some dumpster come in. I couldn't even believe they were like 4x6x12 lumber pieces that they were just junking. And then all of a sudden, I had the bright idea, folks. Here, this is how it works. I would spend my time at lunch taking all these pallets apart and loading up that wood. And I was working 12-hour days, and we're talking Texas heat out here, and I'm over here working on this stuff. I was sitting there taking these apart. Nobody even cared about these pallets. And then all of a sudden, everybody else wanted them. I'm like, okay, here we go. Nobody even cared about them. But honestly, pallets, man, I've done a whole lot of cool things with pallets. So what do you got, son? Last one.
Last one I got is a notebook and pen. Because, like, doing the homesteading, the permaculture, all that stuff, it's hard to keep everything organized. It's hard to, like, unless you have a list of things you need to do, or the list of things, like if you're in my case, when your demonstration site or your homestead or whatever it may be is off site and you're having to go there, being able to write a list of everything you need to bring with you or what you plan on doing while you're over there. Like, my trips have to be efficient when it comes to going to the property. It's not far away by any means. It's in the same town. But when I'm going there, I typically am trying to film content, and then I'm trying to get work done at the same time. I need to know which tools I need to bring. Do I have enough water? Because this is Texas, and like, you'll just die out there with all the sweating that'll go on. Do I have a spare shirt to change into when I start getting too hot? Because the dew point is so high here, you get to a point where the sweat is no longer evaporating, cooling you off, so it's easier to just change shirts. But yeah, notebook and pen. And then also doing the 5 critical tasks that Andy Frazella talks about doing makes you way more efficient and way more productive per day than just like waking up and then figuring out what you're going to do for that day.
That's what I'm talking about. So, I mean, I'm sure there's a number of others out there. I mean, I wanted to pick some off the beaten, you know, items that a lot of people don't necessarily think about that can serve more than one function. And I think we covered a lot of those right here. So, hey, once again, I want to give a shout out to Renewed Homestead. Thanks so much. Go check them out and subscribe over there. I want to thank everybody in the chat, everybody. And remember, next Monday, we're going to have a giveaway. I'll be giving away one of those $400 soil savior boxes. And there's going to be a lucky winner out there. So, look, y'all, I want to thank you so much for all your support. I want to thank you for checking us out. Look, we got a lot of cool things coming up. So until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
From the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life, where the magic's alive.